Hey folks, welcome to Clan Chat Online. We're back with another former player to tell their stories of their time at the club. Joining us this week is, of course, Matt Hayward and Jerry McLaughlin. Hi guys, how's it going?
Awesome.
Excellent, excellent. Special guest this week, top left-hand corner, is 3 years with the Clan, now at Five Flyers. It's Barry McKenzie, and I do apologise for the offensive imagery that you see on screen right now. I mean, Barry, you're wearing a hoodie in this weather. What's that all about?
I done it to cause a wee bit of commotion, a wee bit of, but you know what, I'm actually too warm right now, so if you give me a second, I'm just going to take it off. Actually, give me a second.
We'll talk amongst ourselves.
What's he going to come back into scream if that's what I'm worried about?
Right, I'm back. Oh,
there he is.
You should be a politician, Barry. You should be a politician with that amount of duck. Be able to please both sides like that. That was a class.
If I was a politician, the ice drinks have been open last week.
Hey, we do politics on the Clan Chat now as well.
We'll give him 10 minutes and he'll change his cap into a Dundee Stars one, and then Edinburgh Capitals will come later on just to keep everybody happy.
Keep the scarf.
They're actually down in Dumfries right now, so
too many clubs to keep changing his wardrobe, aren't you, Baz?
I know. I've got my Cardiff shorts on, my Dundee boxers, my Edinburgh shoes.
Barry, it's good to have you on board this week. Of course, a lot of fans have got some great memories of you and your time at the club. What's your own particular memories of your 3 years with the Brayhead Clan, as it was, of course?
Yeah, no, really good. Really loving my time there. I think the Champions League was a great way for me to start off my career. Well, not really great because we got absolutely spanked the first game that we played in. But I loved it. I loved it, every second of it. And you know, it was unfortunate it had to come to an end. But that's hockey, I suppose.
And of course, your time at the club sort of spanned, obviously, the sort of latter end of Ryan Finnerty's time in that year under John Tripp as well. Yeah. Very, very contrasting, I would say, experiences from those 2 years, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I think with Finner was more like kind of laid back and let the kind of the guys do it. Not say do what they want, but let the guys have fun. You know, you let the guys basically control the room and you let us have fun, basically. But Tripper was obviously a bit more professional and regimented in the way that it was his kind of way that he wanted it, and it was, I'm not saying it wasn't fun, but it wasn't Finner fun.
Come on, Barry, you were shocked that summer. I remember you, like, you're on the phone just going, he's literally, I've got to give him scores, I've got to literally do these and I've got to send him through the results. You were like, but
then trust, like, me, Jared, trust me, Jared, every single one of them.
he went on holiday to Florida, and he had to prove that he was doing the shuttle runs in the car park of his hotel.
I messaged him. He messaged me and he was like, oh, I beat your scores. I'm like, I'm in Florida. He's like, so? I'm like, I'm on holiday. So? I'm like, what do you want me to do? He's like, oh, you need your scores. Everybody has to do it, put them in this like weekly or whatever it was. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. And so like the first 3 or 4 days I was patching them, like just come patching them. And then it kept going. And like, he was like, right, where's your scores? I was like, right, we've got to do this. So I threw some shorts on and a t-shirt, running down the ramp, doing a couple of like wee sprints in the car park so Gemma could take my picture. Sent it to him and just made up all these times. I was like, I'm not running in Florida Heat, no chance. My times were one of the best anyway, so can you imagine me in Florida Heat?
It's like when you
what,
go
what was your
gym,
tactic?
It doesn't count unless you take a picture of it when you're in the gym. It's like the same image.
The old photo that didn't happen.
I jumped out
next
the swimming pool
to a newspaper from that day.
I jumped out of the swimming pool after I ran a couple of lengths. I'm like, look mate, I'm sweating, it's roasting here.
Barry, what was your tactic? Did you go like, well, he's not going to believe that, but that's believable? And then every day, did you just take a second off, or
do you know what?
Did you?
No, do you know what? I actually done it the first time, like when he wanted all them. It was Alex Strachan, and we went up to a field in Newton Mearns, and I done it, and honestly, I was dying. I was like, what? My times were shocking, and I'm like, I looked at him, so I messaged him, and it was just kind of like that weird message, like, you're not the best. I'm like, no, they're not. And it's like, say you're doing it like 125, 120, 130 for like the sprints. He's like, you need to be under a minute. And I'm like, so I messaged a couple of boys who wanted to do it. At this time, we didn't even know who Woody was. I got to the stage, I was just cutting some times off. But then obviously when pre-season started and we actually had to do it in front of him, I think he realised there and then I was talking nonsense.
To be fair, I remember though, you came in, you looked in great shape that season. And I think you've pretty much kind of stayed at that since. Was that a bit, for all we're kind of having a laugh and a joke about the change of culture of it, is that something that kind of clicked with you and has stayed with you? Is there any element of it that you've kept on?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember like the first few weeks, I hated it. I really hated it. The bag skates and that Okanagan, and I was like, what are we doing? Like, this is an absolute joke. Do you know what I mean? And it was because you come from the thinner era where it was kind of relaxed and stuff. And if you had events, you could go and have beers with the fans and stuff like that. So it was completely different. And I'm like, what is going on here? This is like, I think we're all kind of at the stage, like, this is ridiculous. So especially the Brits. And it got to the stage that we had a disagreement, me and Tripper, a couple of months in. And after the disagreement, like, honestly, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Cause I got to the stage, I was just like, F this. You know what I mean? I'm just going to, like, basically F you. I was like, I'm going to prove to you. And I took it under everything that he said under my weight, like under my belt, listening to him. I trained, I'd done extra training, and I just done it. And you know what? I actually loved it. I loved the training aspect of it, like the fitness. We were joking, and Saturday night we were out for dinner, Woody. Saturday. We were all joking, and we're like, we've never been actually, that was the best shape of our lives that year with Tripper. It really was. And I think the funniest thing was, is we got beat a couple of games at the weekend and he just wasn't happy. So he bagged us in the gym on the Tuesday, didn't he? So he took us to David Lloyd and we're all running these sprints. This is maybe a month to go of the season, running all these sprints. So usually I'm kind of tailing up the rear end at fat camp.
I was beating him, and I was loving it.
So I'm tripping him. I'm like, come on, Tripper, keep up. And he hated it. He literally stormed off in a huff. I was like, this is brilliant. And he's like, yeah, that's part one. Part two is on the ice, and he bagged us on the ice for an hour as well. So he kind of got his own back.
Wow, you learned a lesson the hard way there. But it's funny because Can you go?
Go on.
Well, it's just funny because we were like, obviously, sometimes I feel really sorry for John, because like we always talk about this year as like being this kind of like bad year in the clan's kind of issue because we didn't make the playoff and what have you. But I think sometimes it's where the line is, isn't it? You're going for a system. He was obviously going to be a very different coach than Finner. There was a different culture there. And sometimes it takes a wee bit of time to change things. But it's interesting talking to you there like that. And obviously a few weeks ago, we were talking with Jacob Doughty. Yep. And he's another one who really enjoyed his time under John as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Woody, I know you've had a lot of positive things to say about that era as well. I know it was really different. But it's really interesting. You're like, just sometimes you've got different people respond in different ways. And it must be a nightmare for a coach, you know, like to have to try and adapt your system to it. And maybe John wasn't in that mindset yet where he could go, right, okay, this can be the way we do it, John Tripp, but I'll bring it to here just now because it works for these guys and not for others. But it's interesting to hear you being really positive about that and it having a positive impact on you moving forward.
I don't think the fitness thing wasn't an issue for anyone. Like, that's what we get paid to be fit. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Everyone who plays hockey likes working out and they like being fit. It wasn't anything to do with that that was any problem. I think it was elsewhere. I know for one thing, once we went to the gym and we did it, because we did it as a group all the time, so it wasn't like he was expecting you to go off and do your own plans and stuff. We did it as a group, so it was just one thing that you just had to get used to, and I enjoyed it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never done chin-ups in my life that year. It's brilliant.
Well, I'll give you a contrast. Like, first session under Finner, he does this thing called like a captain's practice. So it's the first session of every year. So it's normally just like a couple of Brits and like one or two imports missing or whatever. And he has a captain just take a regular practice with a bit of a scrimmage at the end, just because he knows everyone's going to be rusty and once they won, just to get used to the new equipment and everything like that. So I've been used to that for four years. And then the first one with Tripper was we had to do three laps in under 45 seconds both ways, six times each way or something like that.
I was just looking at Barry
and I'm like, bring back this captain's bracket.
I think after the sixth one, I launched my stick into the stands and was like, F this.
Barry was good. I think he did one lap in 45 seconds on the last one. He's like,
oh, I'm like a scarecrow.
It was so hard.
You know, it's funny though, like, because I still speak to Tripper now, like, and like he sends me like workout plans. When I ask him, he'll send me workout plans and that. He still obviously wants us all to do well. And we spoke to him on Saturday we're in the city, so we all FaceTimed him. And I think it was good for the guys to see him in a different way because it's just like everybody thinks he's this madman who's just, but he's actually a good guy, you know.
Mm.
I think he still didn't know my name. I don't think on that.
what are you called?
In the summer when all the boys were getting up, we were in like a little group on WhatsApp or whatever, and they were all saying about these times, and I'm like, I still haven't spoken to him. So I think, and I didn't speak to him the whole summer, so I didn't actually have to do these tests that Barry's talking about, but I didn't because I knew it was coming at the start of the year. And they all told me about it and all of whatever. So I did a couple of them just to like prepare myself, but I never actually got made to do it. So I was laughing at them in the group, thinking it was, and then I tried it and I was like, I did like, what was it? It was 50 meters.
Six times 10
with a minute rest.
Yep. You had to get under a minute each time.
But it was like, so it wasn't just a 300 meter sprint. It was 50, 50, 50, 50. So it was way harder than it's 3 kilometers and just sprints in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
it's a lot.
So it's hard, and I got to like the third rep, and I'm like on my own in the summer down at Ferry Village. I'm like,
I'm pretty sure none of the imports done it.
But once you're in a big group and everyone's doing it,
it's easy because you just keep pace like with everybody. But when you see, try to motivate yourself to go to a park when it's raining, it's run sprints. It's tough. Yeah.
It's hard to motivate yourself. But that's the thing though with those things. I always say it's not about winning. You just got to qualify. You just got to not finish last. You just got to finish in that top eight. You got to
qualify.
Get yourself to the next round. That,
you don't have to outrun the lion. You just have to outrun the slowest guy.
If I can just ask, obviously talking about Tripper, and obviously you've given details of a positive experience, he didn't come across well, you know, in interviews and things like that. Did people just not get John? You know, when you consider you guys work with him every day, you got to know him on a more personal level. You talked about FaceTiming him at the weekend, for example. Did people just not get him?
I think as well, what you have to think about as well, when Finner left, the clan wanted a professional coach. They wanted professionalism, professionalism, professionalism. And I think to a certain, like, I think that's what he brought, but maybe he brought it as in too professional, if that makes sense.
I think it's such a unique league, Barry. Sorry to interrupt you, but I do think, like, it's such a fine line between, because a lot of the Brits in this league still work and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Germany, where it's a pretty major sport in Germany, and it was in... Mm-hmm. I know I've been over there, and it's quite a big deal over there, John. So,
one thing we were saying to John on that note, Woody, was like, you know, obviously you had the team, and I think people do forget how well the team started that year. I mean, looked great at the start of the season because the team was fit and had great jump and won the Scottish Cup. I know it was a pre-season friendly, but they were super competitive pre-season friendlies, if you even want to call them that. And then there was a kind of point where, like, we always know that we get injuries in this league, right? You know, you're going to get injuries at a certain point, and it's tough because the clan doesn't have the budget to bring in, like, loads of spares and stuff like that. And we were quite fortunate. We had guys like Lee Esters in the area. Tanaka was in the area. And I remember kind of basically speaking to what you're saying there, Woody, I think John just didn't feel that was right to have basically part-timers around. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, look, these are the best guys. You're getting, they're really good. I mean, the boys didn't put a foot wrong when they were out there. Do you know what I mean, considering they weren't training every day? But I just kind of felt we should have kept people like that in the circle, keep them as part of the club because they want to play, they love it, they know the team, and you're going to get injuries. And we did, we ran some pretty bad injuries. Like one of the worst seasons we've had for injuries. Yeah. We've had one of the worst for illnesses this year, but for injuries, I thought that was the worst that we've had.
Yeah, we lost, I think it was one of those injuries, we lost it to like key guys as well. I think we lost Adam Bray.
Shattuck.
Yeah, Shattuck. Schofield.
Like we didn't have a bad, we were talking about that in Saturday. We didn't have a bad team that year. We really didn't. Like we were very unlucky. I think we lost a lot of games by the odd goal. Like it wasn't like we were an absolute junk team. It'd have been interesting. Like we were speaking. So after the last game of the season, like because we obviously knew what Tripper was like. He's very regimented and it was very not stone faced, but it was his way, and he just like professional. Like after the last game. We were beating Guildford and we knew we were out. He comes on the bus with all beers and that, which he never done. He's done once the whole season. And then he stood up in the mic and he started joking, like, basically take the p*** out of the players in a funny way. Like, it was like a race. And like
a horse race. Horse race, but everyone was a horse sort of thing. So he'd like say, Brian McKenzie's got three legs, not as fast as what he used to be, sort of thing.
Yeah. And it was honestly hilarious. And after he'd done it, the boys were sitting on the bus like, why did he not do that in December? Yeah. Or why did he not do that in August? Because if he did, see if he did something like that, I think it would be different as well. Because guys were like, I'm not saying nervous, and it wasn't like you were walking in eggshells. It wasn't like that, but there just really wasn't the fun aspect of it as such.
I think that comes with losing, though, as well. Once you lose those tight games and you don't get over the line, like, negativity does creep in, and it's easy to keep losing as well. It's
absolutely.
Just like winning. Like if you find a way to win those games, then
did you find that this season, Woody?
Well,
did you find that this season? Obviously, with it being a season of two halves, I remember seeing the atmosphere in the dressing room this season was like unbelievable. Like, I mean, obviously, when you're winning, right? But really, I thought that looked like the best team spirit that I've seen collectively from the team. And then, but I don't know, how did you compare that to like the second half of the season? Did it still keep quite high? Obviously, it's difficult. I'm not going to be the same, but did you think it still kept that?
We had a very good mentality when we were losing. I think it was hard to keep coming every day and being that upbeat, but we did that well. But I think when we were doing well, we got too high. You know, is that old saying, don't get too high, don't get too low sort of thing. We definitely got a bit carried away at the start. It was such a good start. We could have kicked on and we could have made playoffs by January, February, like everybody else. But once we started losing again, it's such a hard, look, Fife was the same. We played each other at one bit where we'd lost like 13 out of 14 games or something like that. So I remember, once you do get on that slide, it's very, very difficult to get off. But it only takes one or two games and then you're right back on it.
And
it's such a hard thing to come back. It's confidence.
I remember one game when we played at Brayhead, I was speaking to you before it, and you had lost like 19 out of 20, and we had lost like 16 out of 17. And we're just like, it was basically flipping a coin to see who's going to actually win.
Yeah.
Was that the Pride weekend? Was that the game of the weekend? The Pride weekend?
I think we won like 3-2 or something.
It was close.
Yeah. You won by a couple of goals, didn't you?
I think we got an empty net, so I didn't mean
that. Yeah, I think you did,
4-2 maybe.
Yeah, oh,
it's crazy that. I mean, you're right. I think if both teams could have lost, they probably would have done. It was that kind of run. Is that, do you know? But I've got to say, like, from going over to Fife when I first went over, I went over to visit when Brooksy and Jackman were playing in Fife, and Jackman was injured, so I was like standing with him, and like he was kind of showing us round, and like I've got to say, I was really impressed. Like the setup and stuff in the dressing room was brilliant. And there's like a really good atmosphere there. It's been a difficult season, like all round. Obviously, the pandemic's just thrown everything into craziness. Yeah. But how was the atmosphere with Fife Flyers for you this season? Did you feel, because obviously there's been some big characters at the Flyers that have moved on now from when Moisey moved on and stuff. And I know how key they were. So how did you kind of find your season?
I mean, from my first year in Fife to last year, they kept a lot of the key kind of core guys that they wanted, as in like Shaver, Gauthier, Vinucci, Cazola, guys like that who are returning, who were a big like part in the locker room and stuff, and they were good. Like we brought in players as well who in the locker room were fantastic. So it was easy. It was easy. When you're losing, it's tough. If you're losing, you come to the you hated coming to the rink when you're losing. You can't buy a win. But you know, when we came to training, it wasn't like training. It was like it was good to go and see everybody in that. And the locker room was really good. Obviously, I don't live in Kirkcaldy, but I know the guys obviously enjoyed it, and they done things away from the rink. They went golfing and they go for dinners and stuff like that. But it is a very close knit locker room. That's for sure.
Mm. I love seeing Chase Shaver's video with when they were trying to rally the troops to come in, get the fans back in the building again. And when he did, you know, he stamp, clap thing with the clap. Because I'll be honest, when I started watching it, like initially my kind of heckles kind of went, is this going to be like a proper redneck? And I was like, it's just his charisma pushing it through. And, like, the guys in the dressing room were obviously just smiling, just going. And I thought, good on him, that's brilliant.
You can't mention five videos and not talk about Barry getting chased by an alien outside of the
thing. Brilliant.
We'll go back to the no reason whatsoever. Not even Halloween or
anything. So back to the Shaver one.
Home game against Watford.
Go back to the Shaver one. Did you notice at the end of the video when I had my little rat on, I went up and whipped him in the bum?
No, I didn't see. I'm going to have to go watch it.
You missed that.
Yeah, I can see Big Mike in the background. He's just like, what is going on here? Like, I thought it was great, though. Like, it really, I thought, like, you've got, if you do stuff like that, you've got to go 100%. And he went 100,000,000%. He went for it.
Shaver was absolutely fantastic. Like, great guy.
Yeah.
Great in the locker room. Like, he was a good guy. Good guy to have as a teammate.
Shame to see him moving on as well, then, as well. He's another player that's signed abroad then this year.
Yeah.
It's just the right time.
Yeah, I spoke to him a few weeks back and he was talking about doing it. You know, you can't blame them. You really can't blame them. A lot of guys are going to retire because it's getting to the stage, and I'd mentioned, I can't remember who was talking about it. I think it was the five guy, and I was saying, Ian, come on.
Gemma.
You want a cup of Gemma?
Yeah! Yeah, bring it in!
Is he behind you? Was he behind
you? No, you know now. She wants a cup of tea. She's knocking on the door. Like, come on.
Brittany's a man for that. He likes his tea.
No, she's going to make me one. What was I saying? Shaver.
Just about the guys moving on and this time of the season.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is, our last, like, if you don't have a job outside hockey, your last paycheck was March.
Yeah.
Right. And who's the season might start in December. That's a long time you're going to be waiting without getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So guys have got to retire. If guys have jobs in Europe, they've got to take them. Even if there could be players of the clan and say, I'm desperate to go back to the clan. But if you've got an offer somewhere else, you're not going to wait thinking, oh, it might happen. You've got to take that offer, you have to.
Yeah.
Everyone's retired from us anyway, so we don't have that problem.
I've seen that.
I think that's what happens, isn't it? We've said this before. You're like, we've been as honest as we can with people and just went, look, this is the situation as we know it. And I think it's difficult, isn't it? You look around the teams and everything. I know, Craig, we've been talking about this a lot as well. Like, you look at, like you say, Sheffield and Cardiff and Coventry as well, like just re-signing. And like, that's one strategy. Guildford as well, like just sign, you know, press on. But it's kind of a risky strategy because the reality is it's probably not going to be the same season if it goes ahead. So it blows my mind that teams have been able to do that. And Guildford are probably the main team that they could probably play in front of no one, really. Their business model seems quite different to everyone else. But everyone else, we need to make sure that the teams don't disappear. So you've got to really have a strategy.
The thing is, so you have to look at Guildford as... I think you're better preparing a team like it's got to go ahead instead of waiting until November time. Mm. Like, the season's going ahead. It's like, right, let's get a team together. Do you know, if they've signed all their players and then in December the seat that's like, oh, the season will go ahead, like, they've not lost anything. It just means these players have to go and try and find a job in December, which is rubbish for them. But they've got their team in place ready for going.
But do you really think they've got their team in place? Do you think they've signed their whole team? On a budget that can mean that they don't have any fans for a season. I think Guildford might be the only team that could maybe do that. I don't know if Sheffield or Cardiff or Nottingham or anyone could really do that. You would have to go, then, guys, I know we had a deal, but it's now going to have to change. which is also kind of not fair, because then maybe those guys should have been looking at a job in that time, because that might not work for some guys. Not all of them will be able to do it. It's so individual per case, isn't it? It's like, I just thought, like everyone, I hope we get a season up and going in December. But it's just interesting to see these things at Aberdeen and Celtic players going on holiday for a laugh. And it's absolutely bonkers, like, what's happening here.
They should have been deducted points, Jerry. That's what should have happened.
No, you're right. I think the Celtic should be deducted points for it, and Rangers can be deducted points as well. And everyone should start on no points, minus 100 points. season.
Right, so let's get it back to ice hockey. We've sort of went off tangent a bit. Welcome to Sports Chat Online.
I was ready to take my hat off there.
Now, Barry, you joined the club in 2015. You had a couple of years with Dundee Stars. And for some reason, I still remember interviewing you when you signed for the Clan and the excitement that you had in coming to the club. Why was it so exciting? Remind us of that.
Well, my mum and dad are from Glasgow. All my family are from Glasgow. So it was just one of those things that I wanted to try and play in Glasgow. I remember when I was in Edinburgh, my second year, it was Drew Bannister, I believe, was a coach. He tried to sign me. And you signed Lee Mitchell instead because Edinburgh just point blank wouldn't release me. And that was kind of the only other opportunity I had. But, you know, like, especially the year it was a Champions League year, I basically decided to go back to Dundee. Like, I never in the wildest dreams did I think that anything was going to happen with the Clan. And then obviously Gareth messaged me and I was like I just couldn't turn it down. It was good. Like, it's just kind of, say it's something I've always wanted, but like I really did want to play, especially my mum and my dad wanted me to play as well, because obviously he's from there and stuff like that. So kind of made them proud, and you know, it was good. And I was happy, like, as you could tell.
And of course, you know, your career is varied. We joked about it earlier, the amount of clubs you've played for and everything. You're the only man to have played for all four Scottish teams in the Elite League. That must be really quite special from your point of view.
Aye, they need to give me a testimonial for that, do they not?
Yeah, probably.
We'll have a whip round for all the fans.
Yeah, just a whip round.
I don't think it can be a testimonial. It has to be a tournament to get all the teams.
There you go.
We just the Scottish Cup, the Barry McKenzie Cup. That's what
we did. The Barry McKenzie Memorial Cup, and we all have to pretend. He's not dead.
For saying that, I think the thing that gets me about Barry is he's popular with all the fans of all those teams as well. I mean, that takes a special kind of guy to be able to still have that respect from all the fans as well. Barry, why are you so nice, man? You know, what is that all about?
He's Mr. Politics. See how he came on with the
chapter, isn't he? See, that's
quite... I was looking at some of your stats, Barry. I think I know. When I look at some of your stats, I think I've got an answer for it. Been looking at games played. You play a lot of games in the seasons. Looking at the goals column, looking at the assists column, looking at the penalty minutes column, and then there's number of pucks given away in a game, and that's a really high number.
Testimonial, top of that list, didn't it?
Cost the Clan a lot of money that day, didn't I? Throw all them pucks over,
like Oprah.
Single-handedly take the Clan down.
People in the back, like section, and that, like.
But Matt's testimonial, yeah, when you work for, like, talking about throwing pucks around and everything, seeing a lot of the guys that you played with too. From your point of view, how special a night was that?
That was brilliant. You know, I played in a few testimonials, but that was my favourite, just seeing all the...
None your own.
No. I've got a dynasty mode in NHL in the computer, so I'll give myself a testimonial there. 10 years. But no, it was good. I think it's funny because I was always at the Clan for 3 years, which is the longest I've actually stayed at a club. So I got to, and we had a lot of great teammates, especially in the 3 years I was at there. And obviously it's hard when obviously the guys go back to Canada and North America. You try and keep in touch with them, but you don't really as much as you'd like. And just to see them was fantastic, and, you know, just have some beers. It was good to spend a few days. We went out for dinner with a couple of them, and, you know, I think it was just, we had, as a a few days or as a week for Woody. It was just great to see them all, and just I think the guys enjoyed coming back as well.
Now, we're getting to the point now. We need to start thinking about wrapping things up, Barry. You're at Fife next year. We've talked about next season and everything else. You've re-signed for the new season as well. What do you hope to achieve with the Flyers next year, other than obviously bottom of the league? That wasn't good. Playoffs, Rio, a realistic possibility, do you think, if we get a
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I'm not going to say, we'll finish ninth. Oh, we'll do better. We'll finish ninth. I'm not going to say that. Yeah, honestly, I think we need to get back at the. we need to get back at the playoffs. You know, we need to just be better, like more consistent. We need to start better. I think it's going to be tough because there's such a break as well, and you've not really got a month or two to bed in its case. So you need to start winning games straight away. Hopefully, like have a good pre-season, and then we just have to take it from there. I think making playoffs, I don't know if there's going to be a cup competition. Is there going to be one?
Probably not. If we start in December, probably not.
Yeah,
we'll just flip a coin. We'll play heads or tails. But, you know, hopefully get in the playoffs. And, you know, it was weird with last year. I've said it before, we didn't have a bad team. It was like the Clan. We didn't have a bad team. It was just didn't go well for us. You know, like we lost games by the odd goal here and there. And we had injuries, and it was just like you don't become a bad organisation overnight. And the past few years, Fife have been really, really good. And I think next year they'll get we'll get back to that. You know, we have to make Fife a hard place to play for opposing teams. I don't think we did as much last year as the year before, but I think that's the kind of mentality we have to have and make Fife a tough place to play, pick up wins at home and then try and do well on the road.
I think it's good. I would say like it's good to have a good, strong Fife because it's good for Scottish hockey, and it's also a good Fife means a good Clan. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've seen last year, even at the Fife Clan games, it was busy. It was they sold out as what it was like previous years, and it was just, I think that, I mean, when Fife and the Clan are playing well, I think the rivalry is more fierce because you're kind of pushing. Like our first year, even our second year, like it was crazy, like how fierce it was. But it kind of last year, I didn't find it as fierce. Would you agree? Like it wasn't as.
I definitely found
Friday,
away in Fife was different. I definitely found that, especially if we got an early goal or went one or two up. Normally, as soon as you get a score, it's like,
oh, so you can't hear your thing.
Yeah, you know you're in one. But I felt last year they were quick because obviously you got a run of bad results. They were very quick to jump on you guys, which is great for the away team. Because
yeah, but overall our fans are fantastic in Fife. They're absolutely brilliant. And see playing in front of them week in week out is great, especially seeing we're winning. They're that building. There's not a better atmosphere in the league.
No, I agree. It's very, very loud in there. Very, very loud.
Mm-hmm. Okay, chaps, we'll stop it there. Thank you so much for watching Clan Chat Online. Our guest was, of course, Barry McKenzie. Usual stuff going on this weekend, a Clan Classics game on Saturday. Jerry, I don't have the information to hand. What's the game we're showing this week?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, actually.
Do I pick a game I scored?
We'll tweet it out. We'll pick a Barry game. Let's try and get a Barry game. Yeah, I'll find it. We'll tweet it out.
If it's a goal I scored, it has to be against Edinburgh then.
Right, we'll look out for that. That's at 7 o'clock on the Clan's YouTube channel. 50-50 tickets and shut off the back raffles will be ongoing as well.
It's against Barry, Steelers, Craig. It's against Steelers.
It's against the Steelers. Thank you, Jerry. I knew one of us was
Jordan McLaughlin. Jordan McLaughlin jersey up for the old 50-50 as well. Sorry for the shirt on the back.
There we go.
There you are.
And just time to wish our guest, Barry, a happy birthday on Sunday when it comes, 34 years young. Doing much for that, Barry? Emma treating you nicely?
No, we're just mum and dad are coming up. My sister and her boyfriend are coming across, so we're just going to go for dinner, and that's about it.
Good stuff.
Nothing crazy.
Have a great day.
Where are you going, Barry? We'll all come. We'll all turn up. Where are you going? We'll all just arrive. All the fans that are watching this, we'll all go.
There's a nice restaurant in Motherwell called McDonald's. I think we're going there.
Perfect. Scottish restaurant. Sounds good.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Barry, thanks for coming on this week. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Matt, good to see you as always. Jerry, you as well.
Cheers, Greg.
And we'll be back next week for another edition of Clan Chat Online. Bye for now.